Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
A couple of weeks ago, I was talking about representationalism, the idea that we photograph something so that it looks in the photograph like it looks to our unaided human vision. That is to say, we can't supersaturate the colors, nor can we balance out the highlights and the shadows the way we do in a photograph. And the high point, I guess, of representationalism is when someone looks at a scene and says, it's just like a picture. But of course, that's not necessarily the goal of fine art photography. And I was proposing in that podcast that maybe we need to think outside those conventions. Well, I want to push that a little farther today and talk more about straying from conventions with some practical examples. Here's the first one. Everybody complains about dandelions in their lawn. But photographically, has it ever occurred to you that these are just gorgeous little plants? And I'm not just talking about once they've gone to seed and they create what's often referred to as a dandelion clock, all that beautiful puffball of seeds. No, even the yellow flower is kind of lovely. And for years, I've cultivated an aesthetic that rather do battle with dandelions and try to keep them out of my yard. I've developed an appreciation for them, for their beauty. And I can enjoy a dandelion as much as I can a field of sunflowers, for example. I'm not saying that my neighbors appreciate my aesthetic, but from a strictly visual point of view, they're lovely little plants. And who among us has not photographed that dandelion once it's gone to seed? Well, this has me thinking about other botanical subjects. For example, I've seen countless numbers of photographs of roses and orchids and peonies and calla lilies. All well and good. Those are lovely plants. But why does no one ever photograph poison ivy or thistle or mullein or any of the other weeds against which we're so prejudiced? Is it as simple as art making punishes us a little bit through lack of sales, lack of interest, lack of publishability, when we stray from conventions, that the very conventions in society that support society and the common bond in a community, those conventions leak over into our art-making life and prevent us from seeing the world in a new way? Well, I've said for years that the role of the artist is to be a seer, in the mystic sense of the term, as well as in the visual sense of the term. And if that's true, then it appears that part of being a seer is to simply let go of our prejudices. Don't pick and choose. Try to relate to the world without picking and choosing. I've seen, I can't even begin to count how many lovely pictures of waterfalls, but only rarely, if ever, do I see a photograph of a stagnant pond. Both water, but one of them is within the convention of art making and the other one is not. All the time we see pictures of beautiful models, lovely girls, beautifully made up, wonderful hair, ravishing garments, as compared to the average random airport traveler. Have you ever sat in an airport and realized how ordinary most people look? Why can't we photograph them with the same enthusiasm that we might photograph a pretty girl? We have a prejudice in photography to photograph sunsets versus bald blue skies. But it's just a convention. You can make a wonderful photograph with a bald blue sky, and you don't have to make photographs of sunsets. But yet straying from that convention means that we're on a path that doesn't necessarily lead to applause and reward or even personal satisfaction. Think about still life photography and how the average still life is against a very complimentary background, beautifully lit, often with fruit and art objects on a table with a wonderful tablecloth. Compare that to a photograph of, the average living room after the kids have been inside playing on a rainy day. I rarely see photographs of that. Why not? It's probably more real to life than the average still life setup. Just as a plain sunset is more realistic than a golden, vibrant one, and that average people can often be more interesting than a beautiful model. The more I think about this, the more I'm led to sort of an odd conclusion, which is a huge part of the life of an artist is battling convention, is trying to not get swept up by what we're supposed to be photographing and how we're supposed to be photographing it, and instead looking for our own response to the world, which is anything but conventional. Or at least if we do have conventional responses to the landscape or whatever other subject we're photographing, maybe part of our creative life is to supplement those conventional views with things that we see with new eyes, things that aren't conventional, things that only we can see because we are who we are. We're unique individuals, and we have the ability to relate to the world in our own special way, and that can be the foundation for photography. I'm reminded of some of the photorealists and abstract photographers like Aaron Siskin, who showed us how to look at torn posters on the streets of New York, or Irving Penn and the cigarette butts, or the life of Louis Baltz, or Gary Winogrand. Clearly, these photographers have shown us that there is a way to engage photography and the world that is not conventional. And I'm quickly reminded of the fact that Picasso, the quintessential anti-conventional artist, was in his youth a very accomplished traditional painter. And it wasn't until relatively late in his life that he conceived of cubism and learned to see the world and present the world to us in an entirely new way. Well, maybe you and I aren't going to make such a substantial contribution as inventing something like cubism, but that doesn't mean that we have to follow the conventions. And in fact, looking back on my photographic career, most of the times that I've done something that's interesting, that was a breakaway from boring conventional photographs, it was because I chose to embrace the unconventional and ask the simple question, what can I do with this idea? Where can this kind of photography take me? And where it took me was a fairly predictable path, now that I look back on it. The first efforts were pretty crude. I didn't know how to see what I was seeing. I didn't know how to present what I was seeing. So I ended up making lots of bad pictures to start with. But as William Blake has said, even the fool who persists in his folly long enough will become wise. So you keep photographing. You keep straying from the conventions. You keep trying new things and experimenting and learning along the way. And if you're lucky and dedicated and work hard and use what talent you have, however much that is, you'll probably find that you can discover a new way of seeing the world, and maybe even bring that to the rest of us. Consider, just for the purposes of the thought experiment, the opposite, which is that you never stray from the conventional, and you make the same photographs in the same locations that people have been doing for as long as photography has been around. What will that accomplish for you, other than a lot of copycat images and, admittedly, a certain amount of fun in the process? And fun is a good thing in the art life, but it's not the goal of the art life. It's not the high water mark of your potential, is to simply be entertained by copying the work that others have taught us to see. I'd even go so far as to say that the camera manufacturers understand this maybe even better than we do in some regards, because they make cameras that are built to create conventional images, to expose with conventional contrast and conventional rendition of colors. Doing something that is unconventional means you have to sort of violate what the manufacturer's intentions are. You have to break out of that 3-to-2 aspect ratio to do something unusual in still photography, like 16-to-9. Or if you want to make an unconventional high-key or low-key image, you have to override what the camera's exposure recommendation is. Think more radically. What if you were to make a photograph that was not a quadrilateral, that didn't have four 90-degree corners, but instead was round or oval or polygon-shaped, or had many edges, and maybe some even that aren't straight edges? That's an unconventional presentation of a photograph, and one you'll never see built into the camera. But you can do it, if you want to, with Photoshop or InDesign or whatever software you use. Particularly these days, because of software, we can be incredibly unconventional, which sometimes results in a sort of silly gimmick, but occasionally create something that's really significant and really wonderful. Think of Holga cameras, or lens babies, or even something as simple as in-camera movement, and you can see the potential for breaking out of the conventional ways of doing things. Like I say, being unconventional is not a guarantee to making something creative and visionary and wonderful, but neither is staying within the convention a guarantee of any kind. What I'm suggesting is it's not a bad mental exercise to look back through your images, to look back through your predispositions, to look back at the choices you've made about where to photograph and how to photograph, and ask yourself the question, are you merely following age-old conventions to predictable results? Or is there a way you can introduce something novel, something unconventional in your work, not for the sake of being unconventional, but for the sake of using the unconventional to make a more powerful artistic sentiment? The role of the artist is to be a seer. The role of the artist is not to be a follower or a stubborn follower of convention. I'd go so far as to say that if you look back on the history of art making, not photography, but art making, you'll find that very often the best art is made by the artists who break convention and discover a new way of seeing, whether that's Caravaggio, Rembrandt, Mozart, Picasso, Ezra Pound, E.E. Cummings, or you. Straying from convention may not guarantee interesting artwork, but it might just open the door to something truly special, truly magnificent, truly a vision that only you can have and share from the unique perspective that is you.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.